Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
It's so good to be here in Melbourne, Australia. This is my second time in this amazing artsy city. It's so cool and it's so cold. It reminds me of Chicago. We have some pretty brutal winters, so this is actually like, I don't know, maybe spring in Chicago. So thank you so much, Pastor Helen and Richard. We are just so honored to be here. We've got our family in tow with us this time around. We haven't been back as a family, and so this has just been a dream come true to bring our children to see their grandparents and experience the Aussie life and the Aussie way. It's so amazing. I mean, I married one and then I took him back to America. So, so I'm so excited to be here. I really believe that the word that I'm going to deliver tonight, I really want for you from the onset of this conference is just chill, relax, take it all in. I know there's a lot of friends in the house that this is your first time in a room like this. And I just want to encourage you, just relax, girlfriend. It's all good. There might be something in this message that might tug at your heart. There might be a word or something that you might feel it'll resonate with you. And perhaps you can, you know, take that into a later conversation with your friend. And I don't know, maybe start a conversation that'll lead to some bigger things. But just relax, just take it all in, and we're just going to go for it together. Is that cool? And I know there's some guys in the room. I'm talking to a lot of girls, but I'm very aware that there's some guys in the room. So if you want to do some grunting or whatever it is that you do, feel free to do that. Yeah, that's it. Okay, so the theme of this conference, which I totally fell in love with, was forward. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward. I love that Jesus is all about the girls. He's all about the chicks. He's all about the female representation on the earth. And he leans in, he empowers, and he releases, and he calls, and he pulls, he gives that nudge very gently, but he's all about the girls. And so the title of my message is called The Process of Forward. The Process of Forward, because I'm all about forward, but sometimes I just don't know how to move forward. Anyone in the house where, you know, you're given instructions, and you're given like the vision, or you're given the statement, you're like, wow, forward, right, let's do this. And you almost get yourself ready for it, but then what's the next step? What does the process of forward actually look like? What does it look like? What's step one, step two? What does that actually look like? I wanna encourage you and tell you that forward has a twin, and the twin is called process. You can't have forward without the process. And often we find ourselves in these places where we want more and we want to be set up to do more and to achieve more. And we get going and often we're like, why does it feel so hard or heavy? Why do I feel there's incongruency? Why do I feel like this is just not the dream? You know, dreaming the dream is free, but living it, you've got to pay the cost. And God is all about the process. And I want to read from Philippians 1:6. Is this okay? Partner with me tonight. If you want to say you go, girl. If you want to say Chi-Town in the house, go for it. Chi-Town is short for Chicago. So born and raised in Chicago. I was born and raised in America, in Chicago, but my parents are Latinos. They're Puerto Rican, so come from the beautiful island of Puerto Rico. So there's a lot of fire and a lot of Latin stuff. I don't know. The food, the dancing, and the big families. And then I married another Latino, so then it's like we've got four little Latinos that have, like, just fire. It's just like, just fire. It's great. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. God has started a good work in you, whether you believe it or not. He has started something from the very moment you were conceived, from the very moment you drew your first breath. He has a plan for you, and he plans to see it out with you. If he's going to start it with you, he's going to end it with you. But somewhere in between, there's that bad word called process. And we fall in love with the idea of forward, and we fall in love with the idea of dreaming, but we don't like the process. God, give me the dreams. Give me the forward in my life. Give me everything I need to go forward. He's like, okay, I am, but it's going to take some time. And I want to redeem the term process for us and forward as well. Because I believe we live in a day and age where we have all of these external things happening in our life. We want all those things to bring satisfaction and fulfillment, and we're filling our lives with all of these things, and we're missing something so important. There is a process. There's a process that needs to take place, and that process is you and Jesus, your relationship with him, and the process of what that looks like and what that entails and what that can be. And the dreaming and the forward will come from that position, from knowing him from the inside out. I feel like as humans, we're like time machines, right? We love living in the past, and we love living out the memories, and we love looking in the present, and we love the dreams. But in between, there's just this chasm, this space of life. And sometimes there've been moments where I'm like, I'm living my dream, but I feel like I'm actually living a nightmare. Because I'm living with me. It's not about anything else around me. It's actually me. You know those things where, you know, God has delivered you from stuff, but the stuff you haven't been delivered from, you know, he can take you out of Egypt, but he's got to take Egypt out of you. That's called process, and that takes time, and that takes willingness, and it takes, you know, time in his presence and praying and conversation, sometimes therapy. It takes time. There's a process there. And God often doesn't want to fill your life with stuff and fill you with a lot of opportunity, because he wants for the thing that we desire most to be the thing that we chase and the thing that we're after, which is connecting with him and loving him from the inside out. So forward has an evil twin called process. Process is a systematic series of action directed to an end. We have seasons, we have different journeys in life, and God wants to take us throughout those things, and we probably can't see the end. We probably think, when is this season going to end? Or when am I going to get the promotion? Or when am I going to get the opportunity? Or when are they going to see that I'm actually a big deal? You just want to get there. You just want to arrive. But it takes time. God, give me my forward, but keep your process. Deep in my heart, that was me. 7 years ago when we planted People Church in Chicago, it was just Chris, me, and a two-year-old little boy, and we left Australia and everything, our friends, our family here. I have family in Chicago, and how many know that, you know, when you leave Australia, well, I don't know, you're still here, but when I left Australia, I was going through some stuff. I was so sad. I want to go home, and then I felt like I found home, and then God uprooted us, and he took me back to Chicago, where it's cold, and you got to wear coats, and imagine, you know, having to buckle a baby in a car seat with a coat on, like, it's awful. You just can't get it right. They're like throwing tantrums, and you're just going, would you just cooperate? Chicago, it's, you know, Australia, it's beautiful. I love Australia. You guys are so blessed here. Leaving and going to Chicago and planning People Church, I remember the first couple of years going, where are the people? Where are they? Does nobody want to be my friend? Like, I just felt so sorry for myself. I'm like, where are the people? Who are we supposed to do this life with? And you know, if God would have given me what I wanted right then and there, I don't think I could be standing here literally, like, speaking out my life. Those years, this past 7 years, built something in me. It forged something in me. And I believe that God, whatever it is that you're in, there's a plan, and God wants to forge something in you specifically. He wants to pull something out of you. He wants to draw you closer to Him. The process, what it does, it removes the whole self-sufficiency thing out of us. We want to just be dependent on ourselves, our dreams. We are our natural talents and the things that, you know, the strengths that we have to get us from point A to point B. And we often just invite God later on into the picture, and we just want to do it ourselves. But the process, what it does, it eliminates the self-sufficiency portion. It removes all of those things like, okay, those things are great and those things will come, but first things first. Trust me, lean on me, abide in me, worship me, look for me, speak about me, reveal who I am in a room. Open your mouths, talk about your story. That's what He wants to do in us. The destination isn't meant to be the climax of your story. The process is. In our human condition, I know when I set goals and I achieve them, I'm like, oh, the most anticlimactic thing of my life. It's like, oh, okay. And it's a human condition. We want more. We want more. We want to achieve more. We want to have more friends. We want better clothes. We want this and that. We just want more. And we miss out when we arrive and we don't really lean into the process. What if the destination is there to serve the process as opposed to the process there to serve the destination? What if we looked at life that way? One big process. And I know that it can look like an uphill battle. It can look like, okay, that's a lot of work. That sounds like a lot. But I tell you, the process is God's way of stripping us of that self-sufficiency. So when we were born with a body, a soul, and a spirit. And the body is there to help us relate to the world around us. Our soul is there to help us relate with oneself, to live with ourselves, to relate to us internally. And then the spirit is our way of relating and functioning with God. And when we are born, we're born with a scarred soul. Our souls, where our mind, emotion, our five senses, all of that sort of hide and live. And when we accept Jesus into our heart, His spirit comes into our spirit. And what happens is that when His spirit takes possession of our spirit, He's trying to bridge the gap between our soul and our body. He's trying to help the soul function in a world that isn't about Him. And there's this process that takes place. It's an internal process. And often in our human condition, we want everything externally to fulfill the internal parts. But God is saying, I know exactly what you need. I know exactly the void and the tension and the hurt and the regret and the approval addiction and the substance addiction that you are trying to fill those things with. But if you just let me do what I need to do in the process, getting closer to me, knowing me, you know what? We are spirit and God is a spirit being. And often the Bible says, no ear has heard or no mind can know what God has in store for them. We often look at that from a very tangible sense. But what that is saying is if you don't experience God in your spirit, no eye has seen and no mind can know what God has in store, because He is spirit. And when your spirit and His spirit collide, oh, better believe your life is about to change. Your life is about to be completely revolutionized. There is a process. And you know what? I might be a little bit more ahead. You might be a little bit more ahead. And that's the beauty of God. He knows exactly where you're at. And that process will take place exactly when it needs to, so long as you let Him. So long as there's an invitation for you to come in and start that process. Colossians 1, 21 to 23 says, you yourselves are a case study for what He does. At one time you had your backs turned to God, thinking rebellious thoughts of Him, giving Him trouble every chance you got. But now, by giving Himself completely at the cross actually dying for you, Christ brought you over to God's side and put your lives together, whole and holy in his presence. You don't walk away from a gift like that. You stay grounded and steady in that bond of trust, constantly tuned to the message, careful not to be distracted or diverted. There's no other message just like this one. Every creature under heaven gets that same message. Hey, you, girl, guy, sitting on this chair, sitting in your chair, you are loved, you are known, you have been bought with the most precious blood ever to be shed. He knows your story, he knows the hurt. He knows what you've been through. He knows that you're scared. He knows that there's fear. He knows there's stuff. We all have stuff. I think that the most incredible thing about this life is that no one talks, right? Like, I feel like we talk enough about what's really going on beneath the surface. We just feel like, oh, we've got to keep up with the appearances. We want forward. We want to give the appearance of forward. But no, sometimes the process is ugly. Sometimes you got to let your hair down and do a really good ugly cry. Sometimes you need to just shut off the TV, grab a box of tissue, and get in the presence of God and go, what the heck is my life? God, show me. Do something. Open the heavens. Create that time and that space. Let's talk about life. Let's talk about what we're struggling with. I tell you what, when you do that, you disarm something in your life. You know, the enemy's out to do his thing. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. You know, when I was in sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, I was a cheerleader, right? Go figure. Cheerleader. And I worked so hard to make this cheer squad that year, that summer. I really worked really hard, and I made the cheer squad, and so there was a cheer that we were taught, and so whenever we were at the basketball game and the other team was winning, we'd like to intimidate them with this chant. So we'd take formation, and we'd look at each other, and, you know, Latinas have a little bit of sass and attitude, so, you know, enough to make a grown man run away. Apparently, no. Don't ask my husband. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, this chant was, go back, go back, go back to your hood. Your team can't play and your coach ain't no good. You know, sometimes we have to look at the enemy and go, go back, go back, go back to your hood. Your team can't play and your coach ain't no good. The victory is yours. God loves you. Let's disarm the enemy and let's start talking about our stuff. Let's get it out in the open. Let's bring it before God. We don't say we're sorry enough. Let's live a life of repentance. Let's get free of our stuff. Let's move on. Let's move forward. Let God do the process. Let God do the work because he wants to get busy in your life. He wants to show you a thing or two. He wants to show you what you're really made of. He wants to give you the confidence that you thought you could never have. He wants to show you how to speak in those rooms. He wants to show you how to speak even in the corporate world, before men, where women shrink back. He wants to show you got this, girlfriend. You can do this. He believes in you. He wants to take you forward. But sometimes it's us just going, all right, the process. I'm here for it. What's the motivation behind your forward? What fuels you? What is the thing that gets you out of bed and gets you excited about purpose in your life? Those things are great to have, and they should. Just make sure they're planted and rooted in a relationship with Jesus. Because in that place, that's where the confidence comes. In that place, that's where he'll reveal who you are and who he is. You'll have the power to do what is before you because he will lend you the power that you need. Amen? Okay, so I have a bike up here. And I'm contemplating whether I should get on the bike. I haven't gotten on a bike in so long. So I don't know. Okay, before I do, because I still haven't decided, When I think of forward, I think of a bike. I'm going to move it over here a little bit. Oh, it's a little bit stuck. Okay. We'll just leave it there. Okay. I'm really intimidated by this thing right now. Okay, anyway. So I think, you know, this is forward, right? And it's headed in one direction. I think we get on a bike and we just expect that by just holding the handlebars, we're going to get to our destination. We think, okay, maybe not the handlebars, but let me just sit on the seat. Have you ever tried to sit on a bike without pedaling? Yeah. It's impossible. It's hard to balance. You need the momentum to take you forward. And often we just want to take the pieces of forward to take us to where we want to go. But you need the hands on the steering wheel. You need your bum on the chair. You need your feet on the pedals so that you can actually go forward. You need all of it. You can't have one without the other and expect to get to where you're going. If anything, you're going to fall over. It's impossible to move. I think that's what we do with God. We want the dream, we want forward, we want things, and we want to fuel up ourselves. But you're going to run out of gas. You're going to fall over eventually because your motivation behind your forward is a little bit off. Those things, it's good to want those things. Success, significance, absolutely, go for it. We need more people to rise up and dream bigger dreams. The thing is, we either stay in the past, bringing out the memories of the past, or we live in the future with these dreams, but we forget about what's happening right now. God's saying, get on that bike, put your feet on the pedals, hands on the bars, and start. And you might look like little steps or, you know, small strides to get from point A to point B, but that's okay. That's your pace. So I'm going to give you some points. Is that okay? Is this okay? The process of forward. Number one, you cannot go backwards and forwards at the same time. You can't do both. You have to choose one. Just choose one. And I hope you'll choose forward because God wants, he's there. He's actually already there. God lives outside of time. And that, to think about that, is just such a mind-blowing thing. But he's already there. He's already at your breakthrough. Your forward might look like you being set free from a very abusive thing that might have happened to you in the past. Your forward might look like you forgiving someone. Your forward might look like taking a risk and starting the business. Your risk, young person, might be letting go of that relationship because you know it's not good for you. And I thank you so much. Again, this platform is such an honor, you know. Now I'm very aware that it's taken many, many years to build such an amazing church and to be able to share. It's just incredible. And I really honor, you know, the generations that have gone, you know, before us. It's just incredible what you guys have handed over to the next generation. But if you're in this room and you think you've got no more life left in you and you've given it everything, as long as there's air in your lungs, and as long as you just keep giving up, giving God your yes, as long as you keep walking through the door, God will use you. God will use you. There is no age. There is no expiration day, girl. There is absolutely no expiration day. God wants to take you to your best day. Your best day, you haven't lived it yet. He wants to take you there. Dream bigger dreams. Be audacious in your faith and go there. If those dreams are big enough for you to dream them, God is big enough to hear them and take you through them. And often, they might take a little while because the process looks like what it needs to look like, but don't get discouraged. Just go for it. You cannot go backwards and forwards at the same time. Choose one. Number two, baby steps count if you're moving forward. Let's call it. It's all good at your own pace. Just battle against, you know, the pace that we often get comfortable with, because, you know, we have to keep pushing margins and we have to keep challenging ourselves. It's good. It's good to wake up to a challenge, and it's good to wake up to something that'll grow us and refine us. But baby steps, as long as you're moving forward, you got this. You can do this. Go for it. Number three, time is still moving forward. Whether you decide to stay still or camp in that hurt or camp in enough or camp in that place of, life is just too hard, I'm too old, or I just don't have it in me. Time is moving forward. You may as well move with it. May as well just say, hey, okay. The clock is ticking, so I'm just gonna keep going. Make the day count. Challenge yourself to do something that day that you haven't done the day before. Whether it's buy someone coffee, compliment someone. I was running, we have this trail in Chicago called the 606, and I've been running, I've been getting up early in the morning, just kinda meeting my day instead of my day meeting me. Learning the importance of like getting up before these children of mine. I wake up and I'm like, oh, you're there. You know, like, okay, hello, I gotta feed you. I gotta take care of you. So I'm like, before these guys wake up, I'm like, I need to get some time for me. So I started like running and I was just jogging. I was just in my own head and I might have been listening to some podcasts or worship music. And this guy is like running and he taps me on the shoulder. He says, hey, Jesus loves you. No, but for real, he loves you. And he's like running and I'm like, what? What do you say? No, Jesus loves you. I just wanted to tell you that Jesus loves you. I gotta say, I was so blessed that morning. I was running, I was crying. I was like, Jesus, you love me? This crazy guy with the dreads just said that you love me? I love you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Like, we're the church. We're the hands and feet of Jesus. Go tell people out there that Jesus loves them. Go do it. It doesn't have to be weird. And I love that you said this earlier, Margaret, when you mentioned the whole prophesying thing. It's not for the church. It's actually for the unchurched. Go encourage the heck out of people. Prophecy is a simple word of inspiration that you're giving to someone. Compliment someone. Do something nice for them. I tell you, it will speak volumes. It might not feel like it in the moment. And so this whole thing of me speaking, this is way out of my personality, you guys. I never wanted this. So I don't know. I just kind of go, God, why? I'm not made for this. But he's like, go for it, do it. Sometimes we got to get out of our personality, grow out of our personality, do stuff that's uncomfortable, do things that we don't want to do, and go be a blessing to someone else out there because they need it. The world needs it. Okay, number four, fall forward. Fall forward. Learn or win. Change your perspective on failure. Just fall forward. We make mistakes all the time. So a couple of years ago, there was a girl named Lauren Clampett, and she was a radical salvation at People Church. And she did a complete 180. Girl that was riddled with insecurities. She had an eating disorder. She was cutting herself. She had no confidence whatsoever. And at the time, I had just had my third son, Kingston. And just navigating ministry and being a mom and having everyone constantly over at my house. You know, at one given time, we had about 83 people just come through our house on a weekly basis, whether that was because all of our meetings, and we didn't have money to like have offices and whatnot, so our home just became the office. So just navigating that tension of wanting to, you know, plant a church and, you know, do good by the church, but also keep my head on my body because, you know, I was gonna lose it, you know? Anyway, so it was a season where I was just trying to figure it all out. I was juggling a lot and, you know, and so Lauren Clampett, she was just this girl that I just didn't know what to do with her. I felt like so out of my season. I just didn't know how to encourage her or how to just be a pastor, be a friend. I was just really struggling to be her leader. I just didn't know what to do. And I felt like I made a lot of mistakes in my early years of ministry, if I'm honest. And it wasn't that I didn't want it. Sometimes you just don't know how. You just don't know how. And that's why the process is so good, because Jesus teaches you so much when you take your steps. He's like, okay, that wasn't your best, but it's okay. We'll try again tomorrow. Lean in, you know? And so a couple of months ago, Lauren came up to me and, I was like, Lauren, what is it about our relationship? I feel like I keep hitting a wall with you. I feel like I want to give you advice. You just had twins. They just turned a year old, first time mama. Incredible family, devoted her life to Jesus. She's on, her and her husband, Jake, they're just incredible. But I just felt like there was just this wall between us. And she's like, no, I don't know. I don't think so. We're good. Does anyone in this room do that? No, we're good. So good. Don't worry, we're good. I'm like, but Lauren, I just feel like there's something there, you know? And she's like, well, odds to be, if I'm really honest with you, like the earlier parts of the years of me coming to church and figuring this whole thing out, I felt like you just weren't there for me. I felt like you just didn't know what to do with me. And I just put up a wall. And I sat there and I'm like, man, you're right. I messed up. I made a mistake. And I said, I looked at her and I said, I am so, so sorry. And I said, Lauren, you have taught me so much about leadership. You have taught me so much about how to care for girls now. You have taught me that these moments of saying I'm sorry and getting it wrong and being honest and open, that's not a threat. That's such a powerful thing. By me doing that, I hope it empowers you. I hope you feel released. I hope you feel like this relationship can be mended. I want to do this life with you. I don't want you to have a wall with me. I want to just do this together. Sometimes you just have to fall forward. You don't get it right all the time. But just go back. Put your pride to the side and just go, There's so much power in just saying, I'm sorry. Say it. We don't say it enough. I was telling Chris, I'm like, I don't say I'm sorry enough. And I should. I should say I'm sorry. I should take responsibility and genuinely mean it. When you do that, you just, I don't know. That was such a pivotal moment in that relationship. And God's doing amazing things in that relationship now. And number five, when you can't see forward, look upward. Activate your faith. Stir it up. When you can't see what's ahead, when the opposition is just covering your peripheral view, your forward view, your view in general, look upward. Stir your faith. God is for you. He's put you here for such a time as this, and He's calling you forward. Colossians 1:18-20 says, He was supreme in the beginning, and leading the resurrection parade. He is supreme in the end. He's supreme in the beginning. When you're off to a good start, and you've got all the good energy to spend, and you're excited, and you're ready to go. And then He's there at the end, and He's there in the middle. He's there throughout it. From the beginning to the end, He's there, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious He is, so roomy that everything of God finds its proper place in Him. Without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of His death, His blood that poured down from the cross. Let's fall in love with the process. Let's fall in love with it. It might be a discipline that we have to outwork daily, but let's just choose to love the process. Let's choose to wake up a little bit early and get before God. Let's choose to be people that are the church, the hands and the feet of Jesus, and kind of bust out of their personalities and do something that's going to light up someone's day. God is in the process. And as the process is, don't think that you're not changing in the process. Don't think that stuff isn't happening. It is. You might not see it because you're looking externally, but God is saying, no, look inside. I am bridging that gap. Soul, spirit, and mind. And I'm taking you places that your physical eyes, your physical ears, and your touch, your senses cannot take you. But if you meet me in the spirit, and you connect with me there, I will show you and I will bring and take you forward. Amen? Yeah. All right. I'm going to pray for some people tonight. If you feel comfortable, why don't you stand? Why don't you give God a shout of praise or something? So good.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabacki and pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.